When a band has some heat on them, there are a myriad of people who come out of the woodwork to grab a piece of the heat, so to speak. People want you to wear their clothes, eat at their restaurants, back their brand, and if the money's right, most bands these days will kowtow immediately. It's a little different to how it used to be when we started. Back when we started our band, the idea was to never sell out to the man. That meant never licensing your song to commercials, never appearing in ads to peddle products, and never playing for big corporations with questionable practices. However, the tide has turned, and we now live in a world where Iggy Pop does Swift cover insurance commercials, Johnny Rotten does Country Life butter commercials, and Henry Rollins does Infinity car commercials. It's something that I thought would never happen, but now that it has, you know what? It doesn't bother me that much. It really doesn't. Iggy, Johnny, and Henry don't have to prove themselves to me, or anyone for that matter. Anyone who would challenge them had better get their cred in check, and nobody can match theirs. As someone who's been making music in an industry that's been decimated by the internet, not to mention the general indifference towards music nowadays, I hardly ever hear the term sellout anymore, or the term pay your dues for that matter. And bands are going one step further and becoming brands themselves, slapping their logos on everything. Wine, coffee, beer, Funko toys, cologne, hot sauce, kitchen items, you name it. And there's a band who's got their logo on it. Frankly, it's new territory that makes me very nervous because I don't think it's a step in the right direction. But I can empathize, and I'm not as hardline and idealistic regarding this as I once was. In fact, our band did a short run of hot sauce a few years back. We thought it was hilarious, and in keeping with how we eat offstage and how we are on stage. We're also working on a line of our own Yule Moose drink, which is a Christmas soda beverage available only in Sweden during Christmas, which outsells Coca-Cola every year, and I absolutely love it. Wouldn't it be a hoot if we had our own line? And so we had a short trial run made last Christmas, and some are in the works for the future, but again, it's because we love the stuff in real life. I preface this episode with these words because I want to make clear that whenever I do speak about or showcase a product or an item, it comes from a very genuine place. I am sincerely into whatever it is I'm posting or speaking about. For example, I genuinely love Chino Locos, a restaurant in Toronto that serves Chinese-Mexican fusion food. I've mentioned them in numerous introductions on this podcast, but I've never been given a dime by them to do so. I just love their fish burritos stuffed with chow mein noodles. Salming Shoes out of Gothenburg, Sweden, are a clothing line owned by Börje Salming, who used to play on the Toronto Maple Leafs when I was a kid, and I love their gear. I'm not sponsored by them. So having said that, this episode with Peter Neal, one half of Neal Brothers Foods, is not a sponsored endorsement. There is no monetary incentive to have Peter Neal on this podcast. My reason for having Peter Neal on is because I love Neal Brothers potato chips and other Neal Brothers foods. Over the years, I've come to realize Peter and his brother Chris Neal are food celebrities. They're local too, being from the Toronto area, and everything they put their stamp on fits perfectly with my palate. I can't tell you how much I love Neal Brothers other than to have Peter Neal to be on this podcast so you can listen for yourself. My excitement having Peter Neal is the same as having maybe Jimmy Page or Geddy Lee or Kerry King on this podcast. Peter Neal is a rock star to me. Neal Brothers Maple Bacon Forever, Deep Blue and Flax, and the Real Sriracha are the best chips on the market today. Don't even try and argue with me on this, because if you do, it's only because you have yet to taste Neal Brothers. So go do that first, and then the argument will be over. I guess I do consider myself somewhat of a potato chip connoisseur. I mean, no matter what country we're in, potato chips are usually what's laid out in every dressing room, on every food spread, every rider, every backstage, and every craft services table. So I've tried different chips from all over the world. Almost every country has their own native potato chip flavors, and truth be told, I'm usually left underwhelmed. I will say that the sour cream and sweet ginger flavor by Gord's Ships was delectable, but they discontinued the flavor. Why would you do that, Gord's Ships? It's like a pizza chain discontinuing margarita pizzas in favor of Hawaiian ones. So when I found Neil Brothers Chips and found out they were from the Toronto area, I was sold and an immediate fanatic. Add to that their constant charitable work with organizations and their own 30 Acts of Goodness events, and it makes it really easy to back the Neil Brothers. So sit back, grab a bag of chips, preferably Neil Brothers, and listen to this episode with Peter Neil, one half of the Neil Brothers Foods, and it starts now. The Taco Jones Podcast is the best around. They play the Guinness Tacos, go out to for free on Saturday night. I do sometimes, take me in from fucked up, stop playing, hang down, down.
Login protocol initiated. Sequencing algorithm interface. The official Danko Jones podcast uploaded. Listen with caution. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones podcast starts. No!
I just want to say that in my world, you and your brother Chris are rock stars to me, man.
Oh, thanks, brother.
I love what you guys do. I genuinely love it. My posts on Instagram have only been to get your attention because I love what you guys make so much.
Man, thank you. That's an awesome thing to hear.
And the fact that you guys are based out of Toronto, am I wrong? Or
yeah, just I'm in Toronto right now, and our offices are up in Richmond Hill.
Oh, that's Greater Toronto to me. So it makes me really boost you guys just because it's a Toronto company, and you guys are doing stuff that I genuinely like, and it's really cool to boost something that's from your backyard.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, thank you. That's on our side of things, it means a lot. Over the years, some of our inputs have had to move from Canadian source to a U.S. source, but still, we've got a fair bit of production here, and all of our employees are here, and we certainly give back a lot to our local and beyond local, but Canadian communities on a few different levels. So yeah, it feels good. It feels like we're integrated, and we're big believers in high tide rises all boats, and that karma is a strong and powerful thing, and it's a reminder that it should be a reminder to so many people that you can't just take it. It's a shitty way of going through life. So
well, that brings me to the 30 acts of goodness that you guys are doing to coincide with you guys being in business for 30 years.
Yes.
And so before we get to the 30 acts of goodness, how did it start 30 years ago?
Oh, brother. So in 1987, I actually wrote a letter. I was at university, and I wrote a letter to my brother who was at a different university. I said, you're good at all this, and I'm pretty good at all that, and one plus one equals potentially successful business, and I can't imagine doing anything more fun, even if it doesn't go anywhere. So let's just try it for a summer or two, and we'll do keep it simple, stupid in mind, and we both love food, and let's start a food company, and we'll start off with something that if we have to shut it down within a short period of time, is it going to kill us? So, you know, the barriers of entry weren't too difficult at the time. We started making homemade fresh gourmet croutons to complement the shift in trends toward healthier food and salads back in the late 80s. And they just took off. Like, people said, man, you know what? I was buying really great fresh produce for a salad. I was buying, you know, this fancy new salad dressing, like grenades, which was new at the time. Everything was bottled in ambient temperature at the time. And then, you know, I got a great salad and this great fresh dressing, and I've got these, you know, crummy old, no pun intended, dried out croutons with all sorts of terrible ingredients in them. So, you know, we brought them something a little bit different. Didn't cost us a lot to get into it. Gave us a taste of the food business, if you will. And within a year or two, realized that we loved it. And we started adding tortilla chips and salsas. And then we also became a distributor for other people's products. We were really good at getting our own products into the doors of supermarkets across Ontario. And we thought, you know, why not... you know, why not share the love and bring some other products along and make the transportation cost a little less? And that was really the birth of Neil Brothers Distribution. So the brand co started about 1988, and about 4 years later, we started distributing other people's products.
Now, the way I found out about you, even though you guys have been in business for 30 years, it's been a fairly slow climb for me personally knowing you guys over the past 10 years. Now, am I wrong in assuming that there was some sort of turn or shift that made that put you guys more in the foreground with food products than like the early half of Neil Brothers?
Oh, absolutely, totally right. We struggled for the first 15, 18 years, and a number of reasons. We were small. Consumers weren't looking for organic, natural. Retailers weren't stocking it. So in around 2000 or so, there were a few chains that said, hey, you know, we're going to add some, you know, kind of cooler, more local, smaller, natural, organic, fair trade, all those bells and whistles. We're going to start adding some of those products to our stores. And we're going to make it easier for smaller brands like you guys to get into our shelves, because before it was completely prohibitive. You know, I remember getting a letter back from someone at AMP Dominion back when before it was called Metro, in the early mid 90s, and they said, "God, man, we love your salsas and chips, but I don't know why they're black colored, and I don't know anyone who cares about organic, but we'll give it a shot. You know, throw a few cases our way and give us $100,000." And we said, "What?" Yeah, that's called a listing fee, and if it doesn't work, then you're out. And you know, Chris and I really didn't have $100 to rub together, brother. And we so things changed in around the late 90s, early 2000s, and as retailers changed their ways and were promoting items like ours and smaller companies, so too did consumers trust start moving towards cleaner and natural. And I think they became a little more suspect of the massive CPG companies. So suddenly we were in, you know, it's just timing. It's like, you know, the overnight success rock band, you know, it could take them, you know, the same amount of time, 10, 15, 20 years playing bars and honing their stuff and making sure the right ingredients are on stage to produce a sound that consumers are coming out willing to pay for. So it's not too dissimilar from that. It was really, you know, for a lot of consumers, the first 20 years, they didn't really know us. And
yeah,
and then the other side of it was that we were really focused on building other brands, Tazo Tea and Kicking Horse Coffee and Raincoast Crackers and Kettle Chips and Cliff and Luna Bars. And we, you know, we didn't do a very good job of, you know, it's almost like a typical Canadian, right? It's like, you know, I'll promote and celebrate everyone else. And, you know, far be it from me to toot my own horn and say I've got a line of good products myself. So 8 years ago, we realized that we needed to do that, and we hired marketing, and we put some more people in place who were solely tasked with trying to improve the Neil Brothers product lineup, you know, add some more innovation, do some better marketing, open more doors, and really push the Neil Brothers brand. So, yes, you are right. You've heard more about us in the last kind of, you know, 10 or so years than you would have previous to that.
Yeah, because I think it is. I was trying to ballpark it or pinpoint it actually as to when I really discovered you guys And it was around like the 8-9 year mark. And that's when I became aware of you. Now, it's really hard. And I only found out about you mainly from the potato chips. And once I liked your potato chips a lot, I realized you guys were doing other different kinds of products like the mayonnaise and the popcorn. And that's what, when I tried the sriracha mayo, that's when I was like, okay, there's something else going on here. This is like an empire because these guys are knocking it out of the park with everything I've tried. And so that's when I started to really like, kind of name drop you guys. Because, you know, when we go out on tour, I think every country thinks that they've got great snacks. And there is one place, and I'm not going to name the country because I don't want to get into some sort of online war on snacks. But they were saying, oh, we've got the best snacks. So I was very curious, and I took a look at their potato chip section, and I was disappointed but angry that, you know, Canada isn't being recognized for their potato chip game. So having you guys in the foreground as almost my shield, there's nothing that can break like a maple bacon forever or a barbecue flavored Neil Brothers bag of chips. And we haven't even started with the tortilla chips or the salsa. Forget about the sweet heat. If you put a deep blue and flax with a sweet heat in front of me, well, that's the meal that I'm having. If it's dinner time, that's my dinner. If it's breakfast time, that's my breakfast. I mean, It is that good. Of course, I'm not. I mean, I can't say it. I can't live by those words entirely. But
I'm loving it.
But it's happened, and so when I realized the salsa was great, the mayo was great, the potato chips is how I discovered you guys. I really was just like, and then to find out, A, you guys are from my backyard. You're based out of Toronto. You guys, you know, you do organic products. You are vegan friendly. All these kinds of things, that these flags that get raised, where you're like, oh, or the checkbox that you kind of check off these days now. I'm like, wow, I could really kind of get behind this and be okay with it, like in terms of, you know, just how I can look at myself in the mirror and, you know, just be okay with your own conscience. So I really started to slowly push you guys on our Instagram to the point where I had the Neil Brothers, the new Neil Brothers logo in marker on my arm, like a tattoo. So I had that and I posted it and everything. And you know, a lot of our crowd are from, you know, other countries, not really from Canada. So I think a lot of question marks were raised, but I don't care. If you come to Toronto, even yesterday, I had a friend who's from Sweden, and he kept texting me going, hey, I got to find this Neil Brothers
potato That's awesome.
Chips that you keep talking about. So I was trying to direct him as to where to go. There's so many questions I have about Neil Brothers stuff. So I guess I'll just start right now. So I know you guys mainly about the, I'm a big fan of your potato chips. So barbecue, maple bacon, those are my favorite. You've also got salt and vinegar. Now, am I wrong to assume that there's been a reboot of the ketchup sriracha chip in recent weeks?
No way. And if there has, I better get my hands on a couple bags and do some research, because no changes that I know of, unless there was a, you know, some strange slip up in production, which can happen occasionally. But what did you notice that was different?
There's a new bag to it, a new look. Or is it just because the sriracha isn't in the store that I buy it? By Neil Brothers from?
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be it, but we still got that SKU out, that flavor out, and we did change the packaging over, and it's been kind of coming out slowly over the last six or seven months.
Okay, yeah. That's what it is then.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can go so deep on this, man. I don't want to like waste your time, but I really want to know, what are the beginnings of taking ketchup chip and a sriracha flavor and meshing them together? Because, I mean, I got to be honest with you. There was a part of me that felt like I was betraying you guys, because one of my favorite other flavors of potato chips is another brand, but it's a ketchup chip. It's the it's the President's Choice ketchup chip. And the sriracha and the ketchup together is like a genius combination. So where did that come from?
Okay, so this is a good story, because it actually comes from someone we admire a lot. He's a pal. We've known him for a number of years. But Montreal chef Chuck Hughes is fully the guy who had suggested it to us. We came up with some flavors. We worked with them. We actually had a flavor with his name on it. And for a number of different reasons, marketing, et cetera, and totally with a handshake and good faith and good friendship, we parted ways. But the inspiration for that flavor, for sure, came from Chuck Hughes.
Wow. Okay. that makes sense now, because to me, that's such a specific flavor. I've never heard of that before. It's always just ketchup. And so it's got such a great spicy bite to it. I can't recommend it to more people. I mean, it's amazing. but there's that Montreal steak spice. Is that still in production?
It isn't. We just weren't getting the kind of returns on it, and it didn't make sense from a production standpoint. So it was kind of sad. And what's really interesting about that one is that I was in the head office of Whole Foods, their global office down in Austin, Texas. And the buyer at the time was really interested in bringing our chips on, and they did. And one of the things he requested was a Montreal steak spice. And I'm sitting there, in barbecue country in Texas, and I'm looking at this dude, and I'm like, Maddie, like, seriously, how do you know Montreal steak spice? And why do you want it? He said, are you kidding me? He said, it's a staple in so many of our shells.
Wow.
And I mean, Texas is funny. I mean, I love it. It's so big and so diverse and so different. But man, they seem to have a big love of Montreal steak spice. And they also have they're also fans of one of my oldest favorite Canadian bands, Rush.
Right, of course.
Which just makes Texas ultra cool.
Right. Well, that's cool. Now, there's another another flavor of Delilicious. Vidge's Delilicious Masala Potato Chip. Is that still in production?
That one as well. It was so niche. We had I was actually just in London, Ontario yesterday, and there was a table sitting next to us at a freshie where they serve our chips, and this they were going on about how much they love Neil Brothers, and I'm like, I couldn't take it anymore. I finally walked over to them and said, and they were like, oh, it was such a cool interaction. They were really nice people. And one of the gals, the wife, she said to me, okay, I've got a big issue with you guys though. It looks like you've taken away the Vidge chip. And she said, to me, that encapsulated the taste and flavor of all things India. And I said, yeah, I know. I thought the same thing. And I said, it's a shame. When I first went to Vikram, and Vikram's been a pal since about 20 years now, and we'd always wanted to work on a chip together, and he came up with that flavor, and I was razzing him when I suggested he do a butter chicken, because butter chicken's a four-letter word. He never served it. He never will. He thinks it's
it's a westernized dish. Yeah.
Yeah, like give me chicken Chinese chicken balls, right? Give me a break.
Yeah.
But he comes up this flavor, and you open up the bag, and it smells very eggy, sulfuric, right? Because he really wanted black salt, which has, and black salt in Indian cooking really has that sulfuric smell. So we are actually being interviewed for something, and we opened up the bag on TV, and someone made a comment, and Vikram very proudly said, when you open up the bag, I want to make the smell of farts. I said, okay, Vikram, that doesn't work, dude. That's not what we're trying to get across to our consumers. And no one's going out to buy a bag of farts. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's what Vikram wanted. And I love the chip. I love him. But it's no longer, unfortunately, wasn't a big enough market.
That's too bad. I did enjoy that flavor, actually. That was a good one. But this butter chicken idea you just threw out, answering my last question, that is actually could be an amazing flavor.
Right? Who doesn't like butter chicken? I mean, I know it's not Vikram, but dude, that's a good flavor.
It's not genuine. But you know what it does? You know how you could market it? It is a cross-pollination of cultures because it's only found through the Western palate and filtered through, you know, Indian chefs, even though they've probably got their, you know, you're forcing them to make it. There is a cross-pollination of cultures here. And when I see the Delilicious chip under the umbrella of Neil Brothers, which is a Canadian company, I feel the... multiculturalism coming through.
Hey, that's reason number three that we wanted to create it. I mean, I've loved Vikram for many, many years. He's just a all around charming, fun, interesting, talented. He represents that incredibly successful and entrepreneurial new Canadian that we want here in this country so badly. And he personifies so much goodness. Everything he brought from India and his cooking from, you know, through Switzerland and then what he did in Canada. I thought, man, what a cool way to celebrate that with a flavor with him. But anyway, maybe he'll bend one of these days and he'll agree and we'll do a butter chicken. I don't think so, but you can always hope, right?
Yes. Okay, so segueing from the potato chips, you have a cheese puff line of cheese puffs.
Yes.
I might be jumping back and forth between what I wanted to talk to you about, but that maybe it's just where I'm getting the cheese puffs, but they do not have the packaging does not have the new Neil Brothers rebranding logo, etc., etc.
No. I'm kind of thinking maybe you're telepathic or your ears were burning because an hour before we got on this call, I just approved the new cheese packaging. And it's got the same look as the new tortillas and salsas and everything else. So that's coming probably within the next 6 or 8 weeks.
All right. We got a scoop. The podcast got a scoop. Woo. And like I said, I love the, in terms of the tortilla flavor, the tortilla chip flavors, my favorite is the Deep Blue Plus Flax with a Sweet Heat side salsa.
Come for dinner any night because that's pretty much what my wife serves every night. That's her favorite.
Yeah. Oh, really? So I hit it out of the park right there, right on the first pitch. And then there's, there's people listening to this who have yet to even hear of the Neil Brothers because they probably live somewhere else. But I mean, I don't care. I'm just going to get it out there. And I don't care if you haven't tried it. Now you've heard of it. So now it's in your head. But the mayos that you guys do, amazing as well. Now, not just mayos. These are the ingredients are very well picked. Am I right?
Yeah, you know what? We've played with them a little bit over the years, but we really wanted something that fit along the lines of what we've always tried to do with our ingredients and it's often trying to find that perfect intersection of really good ingredients, taste profile, consistency in terms of mayo, the viscosity, but also ensuring that price and everything else is in decent shape as well. So we, I'm not sure what mayo you've got in front of you, but at some point in time we were using a soya-based oil, and we had a lot of concern, despite the fact that we had an organic, non-GMO soy oil. But we've made some modifications, and the mayos are actually being enhanced. You may not even notice it, but just from a overall sustainability and sourcing, the ingredients will be even better. They're a little bit more expensive, but we'll keep the retail in line on the mayos.
I notice on the mayo packaging, maybe it's on other packaging, but there's a picture of you guys where the chips and the puffs and the other products don't have you guys on the packaging. And I feel it's really important to have some sort of connection with the brothers in the name Neil Brothers. I thought that was that gave it a real homey vibe to the packaging.
Yeah, that decision was essentially foisted on us by our marketing team. So as I said, but you know, 8 years ago, we tasked a group with trying to convey that message that that brand, that eponymous brand, Neil Brothers, wasn't just something arbitrary. It truly was. You know, my brother Chris and I from Aurora, Ontario, started a food company, and people just didn't know it still after 25 years. So we both, my brother and I, Chris, we reluctantly agreed to have our images on the packaging, and we were removing it. So in another couple months on the Mayo, you won't see us anymore. But we had a local artist, a really talented dude, do a sketch of us. So you'll see there's a picture of my brother and I on some of the other products on our motorcycles, and yeah, it's just kind of conveying who we are and what we're all about as well.
Yeah, I have that image too. Now, I forgot to open up this conversation with you to say thank you for sending the care package that you guys did send, with a whole bunch of potato chip bags and salsas, and they're gone now. It's gone. It's all gone. Well, actually, to be fair, I split it with the two other guys in our band, so we all got a little bit of that package. So, yeah, we're all...
Right on.
Yeah. But
none of you were sick afterwards?
No, oh, God, no. I mean, I've already went out and bought some more bags, so the package actually made money for the company, I think.
Right on.
But included in the box was that image that you just spoke of, which is you and Chris on some motorcycles, which I think it's great, and it gives you as a consumer, you really feel that, oh, this is a real kind of family business, in and amongst all these grocery items that are on shelves, and there's no personal connection. That's what really hooked me in after I really liked the flavor. I turned the bag around and I saw, you know, that, oh, there's a story behind it, and there's actual brothers. This isn't just a brand. So that was kind of cool. I really dug, you know, the different personalities that you guys are kind of pushing to the foreground.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are real guys, and one of the things in the last few years, the people around us who are mentors or supporters or paid marketing people to help us said, you know, you're also involved in all these different charitable things. So why are you on the board of this charity or that charity when you should be, you know, focusing your time and energy on food related stuff, or you're just telling your story in a very genuine way and promoting the things that matter to you? And I think at first we thought, well, if we're doing something in the food industry, it's going to look too contrived. It looks like we're just trying to get our name out there and be on a board for the sake of you know, pushing our agenda from a marketing standpoint. It didn't seem genuine. But, you know, we found some great organizations that, you know, we have become, you know, deeply passionate about and deeply involved with it, and not just from a board level, but, you know, rolling up our sleeves and being part of the actual, you know, on the ground effort. And it's been pretty cool. And telling that story or having our shots on there, you know, my brother and I have spent a lot of time traipsing around North America on our motorcycles for different reasons. And, you know, that's okay. It's cool I think it's cool to share some of those things you love to do and, you know, be congruent with consumers and say, hey, this is what we're all about, you know, and just the same thing about cannabis. I mean, I've been a fan of it for, you know, a good chunk of my life, and I've never completely agreed with political stigmatism around it and, you know, why it landed into class A drug and narcotic in so many different jurisdictions. But hey, we can celebrate the fact that that's over in Canada and that, you know, it's one of the reasons we got behind it and are developing a full cannabis edibles company.
Wow. That's amazing to hear. I did not know that. That's wild. I mean, I guess now that all the laws are getting more and more lax, it gets easy to enter the market through there.
Yeah. Yeah. We found a group that had a good sized production in Canada. They did a deal with a group of guys that we've known and liked for a long time, the guys at the Tragically Hip. And we thought, hey, we love their music, and, you know, there's a friendship amongst food, and And really liked the guys behind the production of cannabis at Up Cannabis, and we agreed to be their food partner and build up a whole food line. It's now potentially in the hands of a bigger licensed producer called Hexo, but the same you know thought process behind you know presenting or curating a line of items that make sense to consumers and checking off the boxes. So if we do a you know cannabis infused chocolate, it'll be fair trade. It'll be organic. It'll be you know probably plant based for sure, vegan, and you know best practices of food will be married with really good responsible cannabis distillation or isolate infusing, and we're going to give Canadians an opportunity to engage with our food, and you know just as they would with a couple of glasses of wine, they can have a you know, whether it's a piece of chocolate or a vegan gummy that's, you know, not just all sugar and not just full of garbage. It will be something that they can enjoy with, you know, friends or, you know, use it for whatever occasion, sleeping or just kind of chilling out on an airplane. We're going to give them opportunity to, you know, engage with cannabis in a really responsible manner.
And when is this expected to hit the market?
Right now, you know, we've seen the draft regulations from the government, Health Canada and Pharma, but most likely it'll be, you know, October, November. It could be November, December of 2019, but it's soon. And I've been traveling across the U.S. to all the states where it's legal and attending seminars and conventions, speaking at things, and really learning so much about this industry. It's been a real eye-opener. It's been a really, you know, after 31 years, it's easy to get tired with something, especially if it's your own company. But man, I'm so reinvigorated now knowing that we can do something so exciting. I've seen the effects. I've seen the positive effects from medicinal and a medicinal / recreational and what cannabis and, you know, maybe a higher CBD ratio, but, you know, what consumers have been able to benefit from in with really good food combined and have a really great experience. So I mean, I love alcohol. I've got a wine importing company as well, but I don't drink a ton. And you know, from a physiological and societal standpoint, you know, cannabis has got some really good things to offer us as an alternative.
I agree, 100%.
And I don't wake up feeling like crap in the morning.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm not a consumer of cannabis, but I agree with all its health benefits and its benefits to our planet. So I'm a pro legalization person from that standpoint.
Thank you. So, that's cool. That's you know, that's as good of an answer as I can imagine from someone who doesn't engage with it. So that's refreshing to hear that. Thank you.
I wish I could. I just can't handle my high, man.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of people in that boat. And yeah. You know, and one of the wonderful things about edibles and the way we are dosing them, I'll tell you a quick story. One of my youngest daughter was over with a group working in Kenya building schools last summer, and just based on her, you know, I think a lot of things being away and being that far away and exposed to a whole lot of different things, she had a panic attack, and it was so bad that you know the local doctors didn't know any better, and they prescribed a psychotropic. Sadly, it affected her genetically, and she was for 8 days near suicidal. She was depressed. She was in a very, very bad state. Fortunately, we were able to get her off them and talk to the doctors. But, you know, a month later, we're with some friends in a boat in the Pacific, and she had another panic attack. And someone on the boat is in the medical cannabis industry and had CBD with them and administered it to her. And within an hour and a half, brother, she was right as rain. And I thought, man, am I ever happy I'm getting into this industry. I can see the goodness from it. I've got a 91-year-old father-in-law who's been his life, his day-to-day happiness level, you know, his pain management has it's night and day. I can't explain it. Mm-hmm. It's just, he lived with us for 2 weeks. He's out of the house now, but he's on a daily dosage of CBD. And, you know, you can look at so many different things that we engage with every day, you know, drink more milk for this and eat more vegetables for that and take vitamin D and vitamin A. CBD is no different, and we're going to realize that. And there's nothing hallucinatory about it. And it can be grown in a very clean, environmentally friendly, you know, organic manner. And So yeah, we're learning a lot about CBD and the other 100 and some odd cannabinoids in cannabis, and there's a lot of good that can come out of it.
Thankfully, finally, yes. I mean, I think the truth is coming out on cannabis.
Yeah.
And it's not being...
It doesn't have to be about the high.
No, not at all. My only criticism about the high with cannabis in this society is that it's not given the respect. It's used as like some sort of like party drug. But if you give it the respect to go alongside with the high, I think you can really benefit from it beyond just like a cool Friday night.
Oh man, you like I need you on tour with me. That's exactly what I need to encapsulate. I try sometimes, and sometimes I struggle with getting the right message and not having it confused. But you know, for 15 years we've taken our daughters to Jamaica, and you know, for about 10-12 days we rent a home in the local community, and it's a religion to so many of them. There's a lot of them still that they want nothing to do with it, and they're also not drinkers, and I mean, it's just a very different lifestyle. But you know, for Rastas and so many other locals, it really is a religion. And you know, they're not smoking it like high school kids on a Friday night either. It's just part of how they live. It's we're not going to say it's like in India drinking chai, but it is almost a cultural religious experience, and they do it just to kind of cruise and enjoy life and see life through a different lens, if you will.
Yeah, that's actually where I realized how marijuana should be treated. Because I was, I was in university and I was trying to smoke joints, and I had a couple of bad experiences, and I realized I wasn't giving it the respect. And I looked at, how Rastafarians treated marijuana, and then I realized, I had the wrong approach to it. So I'm not against it at all. I'm not against
it. I'm loving this, brother. This is the wisdom of Danko Jones. Yo, loving
it. Well, that gets me to something that we've touched on a couple of times during our talk here is the charitable aspect of the Neil Brothers. You've actually, because you've hit your 30-year anniversary, you've decided to kind of showcase it and spread it out in the 30 Acts of Goodness. Could you talk about what that's all about?
Yeah, it was really drawn out of what I was speaking about earlier in terms of defining who we were and what our interaction with our community was, whether it's our hyper local community or community at large and our country, and a way to celebrate our consumers. So my brother and I, and there's three of us, actually our younger brother's not involved in the business, but the three of us were brought up in a house where don't complain, get up and do something. And if you've got an issue, get off the couch and roll up your sleeves and get involved. Our mom and dad were involved in grassroots stuff, and on a much bigger level, and from politics to, but mainly it was charitable stuff and community inspired work. And, it was just part of our lives growing up. So it was a natural continuation when we got into our late teens and early 20s. But Chris and I were doing stuff all over the place. So a lot of what we wanted to do in the 30 Acts of Goodness were food related. There was some fun guerrilla marketing stuff, just, in a crazy traffic rush hour situation, making people smile and having some laughs and handing out chips for the ride home. But there were a lot of events that were supporting things like Community Food Centers Canada that we're heavily involved with. It's one of our three main charitable undertakings, and the idea of being able to celebrate community and help those who are in tough situations in so many different communities across the country. And we've visited many of them. I've visited all the centers across Canada and spent some time through Canada's north and seen how that interaction between socialization, good food, and kind of a healthy outlook can really help to bring about people's better, more happiness and certainly better health within individuals and within a community. And as you do that, you continually see, you know, the improvement and the thriving of communities. And this community group, Community Food Centers Canada, has done an amazing job with that. They bring people into a center. People sit down. They're served a really good meal by a chef with usually local organic food. So very different than, say, the food bank model, which you know, plays an incredibly important role, especially in emergency situations. But as opposed to lining up for a hamper of food that, you know, may not be first class and may not be what everyone wanted to eat, you know, our approach is a little bit different. You know, we're going to look you in the eye. We're going to sit you down. We're going to feed you. We're going to clean your dishes. And, you know, you're going to be able to sit and enjoy a meal and have a conversation with several other people at your table. And that's when our group also can get involved and say, hey, what can we do to help you? Is there, you know, English is a second language issue? Is Landlord Tenant Act? Are you having some perinatal, you know, stuff? Can we help guide you around better food? Can we show you how $5 at the grocery store can be used in a very simple way to create a great meal? You got to remember that we got, you know, so many different new Canadians who might come from different parts of the world who might look at a rutabaga or, you know, sweet potato and many other different vegetables that may not be local to them and say, what the heck? I mean, I certainly know that from traveling. You go to a market in another part of the world and you think, my goodness, I don't know what that is. I can't spell it. I would not know how to cook it. I don't know what it tastes like. So some of that happens at these centers too. And it's it's really an amazing way to bring people together and, again, create positivity and strength out of a center that helps resonate throughout a community and brings up the whole community. And again, back to the high tide floating all boats. And we're doing it. It's an amazing thing. And 30 Acts of Goodness was, you know, based around some of that. It was celebrating a book my brother and I wrote 3 years ago to help raise money for Community Food Centers Canada. So, yeah, it was really bringing out that inner DNA in us and you know, modeling that to other people. Yeah, we can have lots of fun on our motorcycles and build a company and have great fun flavors and be a successful company. But, you know, there's a really important element to what we do as human beings every day as well, outside of just trying to make another buck.
Wow. I mean, I guess, you know what? I got to pat myself on the back because I really chose right when I decided to publicly support you guys, because I honestly didn't know this whole background to you guys beyond, man, I really love their potato chips. so that's great to know. I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned you guys distribute Kettle Chips, and that was a brand of potato chips that I was a real big fan of, but Neil Brothers itself has kind of usurped it for me. How do you do that? That's a heavy competitor. How do you do business alongside that?
You know, I think it's kind of our philosophy in life too, right? It's like, we know their product's going to be on the market. We know they're going to be competitors, and you know, we've never seen competitors as you know villainous. We've always seen them as good, especially when it came to promoting, you know, quote unquote healthier or cleaner than, or, you know, just better sourced ingredients. And we knew that back in the day, if we could help promote the industry and help other brands grow, then it would really help, you know, get the consumer more aware of other options out there, not just the big CPG companies, but that the fact that there were craft artisanal, you know, there's entrepreneurs out there trying to tell a, you know, better story through food, and they seemed like really good people at the time. And, you know, we agreed to take their brand on and sell it alongside ours. So again, we knew it was going to be with some distributor, and it might as well be with us, right? And it's been a good partnership and good friendship for, gosh, we've been with Kettle we were one of the first ones in Canada, so we've had it for 20 years.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Now, listen, my favorite band since I was 6 years old was Kiss. And listen, I know that you guys have probably heard this a million times, but you're Peter, your brother's Chris. I see a cross-marketing Kiss chip. Peter Criss. You guys together are Peter Criss. I mean, I know you guys have heard this a million times. You're probably sick of me, or you hate someone who brings it up. But
honestly, this is absolutely the first time ever. And you know what? I'm loving it because in 1976, I don't know what number I was, but I was part of the Kiss fan club because I was a huge fan. And, you know, I've had a pleasure of meeting a couple of them and Shannon Tweed. And yeah, I'm loving where you're going with this. I'm a big fan. I love those guys.
Yeah, I just see a Peter Criss chip somewhere down the line. I just don't know what the flavor is. And the last thing I wanted to end on with you, talking to you about all this stuff. My favorite potato chip in my entire life was... And I cannot remember if it was Ruffles or O'Grady's or
O'Grady's au gratin.
It was sour cream and bacon.
Oh, I love that one.
And it was a thick chip, and it was
those are O'Grady's. Our friends, the Murphy brothers, made them.
Look, every 10th or 15th bag you'd have, the flavor would be a little less than usual, but when the flavor was there, the sour cream and bacon potato chip that's discontinued now is the greatest potato chip that was ever invented. I mean, listen, Sophie's Choice. I mean, it's 2019. We all change. I probably take maple bacon forever, but sour cream and bacon by O'Grady's, man, holy smokes. One of the greatest potato chips ever invented. If you guys ever go back to the drawing board, dig up that flavor from the grave. And it's not Vikram's potato chip. That would be Danko Jones' sour cream and bacon potato chip. Listen, in Gothenburg, Sweden, at the 2112 restaurant in Gothenburg, Sweden, there is a signature hamburger called the Wildcat Burger. That's my signature burger. Sour cream and bacon. That would be, I claim that flavor. It's got to be done. So the next time you guys go back to the drawing board, remember that flavor. Remember me. Danko Jones out. I love Neil Brothers. You guys are the real rock stars. Woo!
Love you too, brother. And sour cream bacon is coming to a store near you. And Danko Jones will be written all over it for sure. And hopefully it will satisfy even the biggest tongue.